Blog Talk.
1, 2, here I go.
Well, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head.
Good evening, and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. And I am your host, Tanya Parker, and I am just pleased to honor you by coming into your airwaves tonight. And I have to apologize for coming in so late. I actually fell asleep, and I was steadily sleeping. I apologize. Yesterday was one of those days where I volunteered all day long, and I drove a long time getting back, and obviously it is catching up with me. But nonetheless, we are here, and I'm so glad to be here with you. I want to thank you to the wonderful Gay Adegbolola for singing us in with her Hungry Woman Blues. I always get a chuckle when she sings that song. And so with the Hungry Woman Blues, we have a cure for that on this show, where on second Sundays at 6, we serve up education on natural and holistic health to feed your mind, body, and soul. Well, before we get started with this month's guest, I will tell you a little bit about myself. I founded Mind, Body, and Spirit Works, whose mission is to facilitate restoration of balance to mind, body, and spirit through divinely inspired holistic healing and education services. My point of view has been shaped from a former 10-year career as a psychotherapist and my current work with the body through massage, Reiki energy healing, and conscious catering, as well as my work teaching public speaking and facilitating conscious communication. I believe in empowering individuals to restore balance in their lives, understanding the importance of addressing our mental and emotional, our physical, and our spiritual needs in the process. And that means following my own advice and making sure I get plenty of rest the way I need it. So this evening, we'll be discussing a topic that speaks to the mind, body, and the soul. And this topic is grief. And I know it's familiar for a lot of folks. We've experienced it for some reason or another, either through death, divorce, perhaps job loss, natural disaster, a house fire, a move, perhaps even a physical disability. I know for me, I recently experienced grief because I had a total crash on my beloved Mac computer. And that may seem strange to folks, but grief may pop up in the most strange circumstances. But this evening, what we'll do is shift our perspective a bit, and we will view grief as a sacred gift. And we have here to speak more on this topic my dear friend Wilma Denise Lee, whom I always call Denise. And she is a spiritual and personal life coach who facilitates groups for healing through their grief. And so not only is she a powerful coach and a dear friend, she's a powerful Reiki healer and intuitive, and I am just so happy that you can be on this evening. Welcome, Denise.
Thank you, Tanya. I am so happy to be here. I'm honored. So thank you.
Oh, well, I'm honored to have you on, and I know the guests will feel the same way because it's such a treat having you here. As I said, you're very powerful. You do so much. And I'd like folks to just know a little bit about you and about your company and Full Bloom and what it is that you do.
Sure. My company, it's called Full Bloom Services. So it's coaching and more. So I facilitate workshops. I do Reiki. I do personal one-on-one coaching. I also do clairvoyant readings. I do career paths. I do soul mapping, like soul gridding, where are you going, what am I doing. I also do transformational energy work. So those are some of the things. And I have a website, and it's www.fullbloomservices.com. And those are some of the things I do.
That's meaty. That's for sure. And, you know, in the midst of all of this, there is this grief work that you do, the groups that you've been doing. First, how did you become interested in serving people who've experienced grief?
Wow, because I myself experienced the grief. In 2006, my mom passed. She made her transition. And at that time, I was a student at Inner Visions, because I'm a graduate of Inner Visions Spiritual Development Institute. And later, it wasn't when I graduated, but sometime later, I kind of realized, you know, when people are grieving a lot, they turn to me, they come to me, and I always seem to have be a source of comfort. And so I begin to start having these revelations like, you know what, healing work, grief. And it kept coming to be, and I couldn't rest. So finally I said, okay, God, I'm going to try this. I was reluctant at first because you think, I don't want to do grief work. I want to do the happy, fun part. I was like, no, God, please tell me you're giving me something else, not this.
Well, and grief isn't sexy, you know?
No, and you know what? When you're carrying grief, it is so not cool.
Right.
Henceforth, the grief work started, but it didn't start. I had always been doing it. I just shifted to a different paradigm. So currently, I have a group now that I'm working with, a group of women, and what I'm doing are healing circles for women who are grieving and who have lost their parent, usually a mother or a father. And it is a 7-step process that I invented, and we work that. So I have one more week to be complete, and that is both exciting and wow, joyous. So in September, I'm starting a new circle, and that will be Healing the Divided Self.
The Divided Self. Now, tell us more about that.
Sure. Healing the Divided Self is for women primarily, because as women enter relationships and we love. Some of us love harder than others. But when the relationship is over, sometimes we carry that. So if women are hurting from the relationship or they have lost themselves in the relationship, healing the divided self is going to be geared toward that. Women who are mourning relationships or mourning grieving period, and they're not sure how to step out of that or how to move on.
Okay. Yeah, earlier I had mentioned there's so many different reasons that people go through this grieving process, and definitely relationships, a lost relationship, that's a big one for everyone. But, you know, I heard it in my former counseling practice. I hear it as a friend. I see it in my massage practice, because this loss isn't just something that shows up emotionally for someone. It's not something that just shows up spiritually for someone, but I can actually see it in the physical body. I can feel it. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, the consequences of it can show up in the body as well, and we women carry so much.
We do.
Wow.
We wear so many hats, and it also shows up in your energetic field. And so I work with that. I work with that because it's all one. It's like body, mind, and soul, or body, mind, and spirit. And if you nourish one and you neglect the other two, it's unbalanced. So it's like bringing them together. But people carry grief. I've seen women carrying grief and didn't even know they were carrying it.
Okay, gotcha.
Sometimes you know, but sometimes when you carry that grief and it takes up residence in you, it's almost as if the grief is living inside you. And you don't know, but a lot of times when I see you, I know.
Okay. Well, in a moment, I am going to get to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, because I remember studying her in sociology oogobs of years ago, and talk about this concept of acceptance. But we have a caller from the 540 area code. If we have other callers who would like to call in, the number is 917-889-7806. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for our guest, Denise Lee?
Yes, Denise Lee, thank you for accepting my call. I've been listening to your comments. They're so enlightening.
Thank you.
My question is, so I have grief that's inside of me, being a man, not a woman.
Absolutely.
Do you have programs that help men to deal with their grief as well as the women?
Before you answer, Denise, if we can just find out our caller's name.
Sure. My name is Henry Jack.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. Denise, do you have programs for men?
Greetings, Henry. At this time, I am working on that because what I am finding is that I'm being asked that. Well, what about men? Do you have healing for men? And at this time, currently, there's nothing group, but I have individual sessions. But please note that I am working on that. I am. And if you visit my website and click on information, I will gladly email you and keep you updated because I'm working on that. Because I get that. Men are grieving too.
Yeah, I mean, some of your concepts are so enlightening, and I can relate to it. I just wanted
Thank
to you. Know see if there's something that could focus mostly, you know, I mean, you know, me being a man, how do I go about dealing with the grief that I have and dealing with relationships and, you know, dealing with losses and stuff like that? I mean, is it the same for a man and a woman?
In many ways, it is. Because as it starts out, we are human and we have our experiences. But sometimes men grieve a little differently, and women are more inclined to show it. And men will retreat into the man cave.
Right.
And men will bury that and put it somewhere else because men are multifaceted as well. And what you all will tend to do is put that somewhere else. Like, you know what, I can't deal with this right now. I need to be partner. I need to be husband. I need to be.
That's correct. That's pretty deep there. Yeah, do you have a book?
Not at this time. Thank you, Henry. You're just really awesome because that's coming. I'm writing as we speak. So, I'm pregnant with the book, trying to give birth. So I'm during the pregnancy with the book, coming upon the birthing process.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'm going to go to the website and see if I could get some information because I do really need to just open up myself to a couple of things that I've been trying to deal with.
Well, you know, Henry, and I get that, and I'm hearing you. You can also call me because the number's on my website, and we can set up something one-on-one.
Okay.
We can always do that because my first session is complimentary. It's free.
All right. Well, thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you
for
calling.
Thank you for calling, Henry.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so there you have it. She does serve men, and she is expectant with a book, which is a term I use as well. We're going to birth those book babies. All right.
Absolutely.
Wonderful question from Henry. And, just like with any other type of healing, grief work, that's individualized. So men and women may experience it differently. However, from individual to individual, grief may look different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely, because, you know, people think that when you're grieving, it's obvious. And one thing with grief, as I work through the transformative work, we'll go through the energy centers, we have some body movement, because I know personally, in 2006, when my mom died, a lot of that I kept within myself to deal with when I was home. Mm-hmm. So at work and in the world, I put on another face and I wore another hat. But I will tell you this, for the first year of my mom's death, every night, I cried myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knew that but me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No one knew. So, you know, I work through releasing it, but a lot of times you hold things, and it's great, like, with the work that I do. And that was one of the things that helped me, too, because I'm like, you know, what worked for me? I was my first client.
Okay, gotcha. Well, back to Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who in her 1969 book On Death and Dying outlined five stages of grief as it relates to death, starting with denial and moving on up and ending with acceptance.
Right.
And have you found this to be true with grief in general, you know, pertaining to other issues of loss?
Absolutely. Because sometimes how it starts, there's the denial. And then there is like, this can't be happening. And I can speak to this because that was personal for me. And then the anger. Because when you lose a loved one, you are angry. You are angry at God. You're angry. You know, people, well, I was. People sometimes don't want to verbalize that because you think, how can I be angry with God? And God can handle that. And then in some ways the bargaining is there. Because you begin to think of other things, well, if this or maybe I could. So it's bargaining, but it also is like, for me, it was like reflecting, thinking, wow, if my mom could be here one more day and I had her for 24 hours, what would we do? And what would I do? How would I spend that? And that was a form of the bargaining. And then the depression or the sadness, because depression is such a deep, like, pit. So I like to call it like the sadness and then the acceptance of that. So you do go through stages, and sometimes people put a time on it, usually within a year, but because clinically people say within a year you should be able to move forward with things in your life. And yes, I was, but some people still have a little residue, and that's where I come in. There are women in my group that have just lost a parent, and anywhere from 6 months to 15 years.
And it's interesting that you use that word residue because, you know, as I said, you're my healing sister. We do Reiki energy healing together. And I do know how powerful you are at reading the energy. And that residue can come across to folks who are sensitive to the energy. It's like this almost palpable feel that something is left on you. And the person, as you say, may put on a happy face. But you can feel, we're able to feel emotionally that there's something, spiritually there's something that's left over. Okay. What happens in terms of, you know, you're calling grief a sacred gift. You know, we don't automatically think in those terms because we often see the downside. We put this negative charge, so to speak, to grief. But what is the gift in grief, that the sacred gift that comes with grief and that acceptance?
Well, I say the sacred gift that comes with grief, when you experience the acceptance, that's like freedom. You know, when right now it's a sacred gift because when you get that gift, you don't want to open it because it's like, wow, God, why did I get this gift when it happens to you? And the sacredness is grief happens, loss, lives, but it's how we work through that, you know. It's how we get through that. And the acceptance is the gift, and it's the freedom, the blossoming. It's like the flower.
And I would dare say, you know, there are some buds, depending on the time of year and what the weather is like, and you see some buds closed up tight, and you're thinking, okay, it's about time now for the bud to open up, but for some reason it's hanging on tight, holding on,
right,
and doesn't want to fully blossom. And so I would imagine that some people want to hold on to the grief. They don't want to really take that step into freedom to open up that bud, to blossom into acceptance.
Absolutely. However, the people who come to me, they're ready. And when the bud is still closed tightly, it's almost as if you work that and you touch that with love and being skilled in knowing what tools to use. Because what that bud is saying is, I need more. And I want to get there, but perhaps there's not enough, and I need assistance.
Okay. So somehow you'll see some sign of that readiness.
Absolutely, because usually when I send out a flyer and people respond, some people are like, you know what, I needed this. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot begin to release it until you're ready.
Okay. Well, you speak of tools, and what are some of the helpful tools that we all can use to address grief?
Well, some of the tools that we all can use, because I have two toolboxes. There's my toolbox, and then there's the community toolbox. Absolutely. Because there are special tools that I've learned in my training, but then there are community tools that I have. So it's like when you have general work, but then you have specialized work. So I'm like, okay, this is my toolbox here, and this is the general community toolbox, and then there's my toolbox that I use that is grief-specific. It's specific to whatever work I'm doing.
Okay, hold that thought.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. It's like, I want to know, you know. For some reason, I have a picture. It's like, is there a magic wand that's in the toolbox? But we have a caller on hold from the 301 area code, and I just wanted to give the caller a chance to ask a question of our guest, Denise Lee. Caller, you are live. Do you have a question?
Actually, I didn't have a question. I was calling to give a shout-out to my good friend, Coach Wilma, and just sing her praises. I can't even get the words to come forward. I'm so filled with I'm one of the people actually that's currently in her grief workshop, and carrying around grief for a lifetime. We're talking 48 years. And so I've been able to work through some issues, and so I can get on with the healing that I need to be doing. And so I just want to give a shout out and encourage her, and just to attest to what a powerful healer she is.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I heard you giggling. I heard you giggling. So I know you recognize the voice of the caller.
I did. I absolutely love this woman. Thank you, Paige. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. And I know our guest appreciates the shout out. And I'm in her fan club too. Okay.
And I yours.
You know, thank you for calling.
There's truth to that saying about the mirror, because definitely such a mirroring back, because I am in your fan club, and I find you just to be amazing. Your energy, your presence, and you're just a beautiful person.
Oh, well, thank you. And once again, it's the mirror. We're holding up each other. We sound like Chip and Dale now. You know, the little chipmunks prior to Alvin and Simon.
Absolutely.
And Theodore. The
absolutely.
Like, no, you're wonderful. No, you're
wonderful. We're both be wonderful together. Indeed, we shall.
Before we get to your toolboxes, we have another caller from the 443 area code. So hold on. Caller, you want to tell us who you are and you have a question for Coach Denise or Coach Wilma?
I do have a question for Coach Denise. Hi, Tanya. How are you?
I'm good. I recognize his voice.
I'm Lisa, and my question was when you lose a loved one, and I see this very often on television, but is it actually normal to try to communicate with a loved one after they're gone, whether it's through seance or if you're simply sitting in the room by yourself and you just openly have a conversation with the departed? Is that considered normal? Is it considered therapeutic? Is it just a way of just trying to stay in contact with your loved one? But is that something that should be encouraged, or how was that looked upon?
Well, it's
good question.
Normal. It is absolutely normal. And let me say this. When your loved one dies, the love that you have does not die with it. So it is absolutely normal. Now, for some people, have a practice of seance, but to converse or to talk with your loved one is absolutely normal, even if it's just, hey, Mom, you know, I really, really miss you. Sometimes that is therapeutic. Absolutely. And I can speak for myself. Sometimes it's been 4 years, and I will still say, Mommy, I miss you so much. I love you. I miss you so much. Because the love does not die. The body has transcended, but the love you have for that person is always there. You still feel them in your heart and your soul, because this is the woman that gave birth to me. So for over 40 years of my life, she was with me, and then she was gone. So that was a big shock for me. So absolutely, it's absolutely normal. Now, if you, it can cross a normal, abnormal, when you begin to have conversation and perhaps you go into another realm where they're talking back or you're speaking as both people, you know, there's a dividing line for everything, but it's absolutely normal for you to speak to them.
Does that answer your question, Lisa?
That does answer my question. Thank you, Denise.
Oh.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for calling, Lisa. And I told you that we were going to go to that toolbox, but we'll take one more caller. How's that? This one is calling from the 571 area code. 571 area code, you are live and on the air with Coach Denise.
Hi, my name is Tatiana. And I just recently lost my dog, and I know you're talking about, you know, loss with people, but is that the same when you're grieving? I just find that I'm kind of depressed and lonely. I'm surprised at how I really handled the loss of my dog recently.
Okay. Paula, please tell me your name again.
Tatiana.
Tatiana, I hear that, and I get that in your voice. And for some of us, yes, it is the same, because your pet is like a member of your family. It's a child to you. It's one of your children. So, yes, the grieving can look the same. There was a woman in my circle who held on to her cat's ashes for years, and she did not release them until she came to my group. So, yes, it can look the same, because that animal was your pet. It was your friend. It was your baby. So, yes, it can. And I hear that in your voice. I hear that.
And they keep telling me to just get another dog, but I just can't right now.
Not the same. Absolutely. But, you know, how long has it been since you lost your dog?
It's only been about 3 months.
Okay. You know, where you are is okay. And the thing about people is they mean well, but they always give you advice. And if they follow their own advice, sometimes the world would be a better place. But the thing is, be in that. Be in the moment. Be where you are. One thing about grief is people don't want to be in that and feel that, because we want to rush to the other side. You lost your beloved dog, and be in that for that moment. No one can rush you through or tell you, just get another dog, because it's when you're ready to move forward. And moving forward may look like being okay with the dog's death, not getting another dog. But please, I say to you, be where you are. Be in that, and it's okay. Work through it slowly.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Tatiana, for calling, and I am sorry for your loss. You know, she certainly speaks to a loss that many people encounter, and I do have friends who have had beloved pets to pass on, and it has totally devastated them. And the pets have been essentially their children. And, you know, I think you've started getting into one of the tools that you had talked about, which is, you know, just being in the grief, acknowledging
Absolutely.
The grief.
Absolutely. There's a saying that I learned, the only way to the other side is through it.
Mm.
That's
okay.
The only way, no matter what people think or what you say, the only way through to the other side is through it. Because you can stand on the side of the river and not want to cross to the other side, and you will stay where you are. And you can go backwards. But the only way to the other side is through it.
And I do know that, you know, one of those stages of grief that Kubler-Ross talks about is denial. And some people will kind of take that denial and thinking they're catapulting themselves to the other side. However, they find that they're falling in and sinking because they're not going through it. They're not taking the time to acknowledge the grief, to actually feel it, to go through that and all the steps it needs to heal.
Absolutely, because what happens is grief is so painful that oftentimes people don't want to go there. And if you ever notice in a room and there are people who are sad, some people, they don't know how to respond to that. They don't know how to handle that. We don't know what to say. But sometimes just saying, you know what, I'm thinking of you, or I don't say it, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, but I'm here. That means so much when a person is grieving and going through that.
So in terms of some other tools to use, can you share with us what else is helpful in terms of actually getting through to the other side?
What is helpful in getting through to the other side, just meaning you can do as a person, some of the tools?
Yes.
Well, I say definitely being in it, silence, prayer, or whatever prayer looks like to you, connectedness and meditation. For me, I was angry with God, so me and God went through it, but people don't know that God can take that. But whatever that looks like for you, I will also say that numbing out is not the answer, because you will not find the answers to the questions that you seek in the bottom of a bottle. So I would say being in it, reaching out. If you want to get out, communicate what you need. The greatest gift that you have is your voice or communication to say, hey, I need help. We are so afraid. People are afraid to ask for what they want. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, people think that I'm mind readers. People do not know sometimes you're hurting if you don't say, hey, you know what? Can you just spend some time with me? Can you hang out? Ask for what you want. That's so powerful. And that's one of the
And I find that to be true. And have you noticed, you know, at least I'm thinking in terms of a loss like death, for example, or divorce, you know, when it initially happens, there's so many people there and around, and there's this sense of comfort in that. But then, you know, after a week or 2 or 3 weeks or that month, or as in our caller said, that 3 month period, people may not be around as much. They don't
where
initially.
Is everyone?
It's not in their consciousness. Yeah.
Right. Where is everybody? Because we live in a society that is just obsessed with busyness. So people just get busy. They get into their own life, their own world. And sometimes some people will continuously call you, but some people will not. And if you feel like you need people, reach out. Just say, hey, what are you doing? Ask them, hey, can you check on me? Hey, I haven't seen you. Just ask for what you need. Because one thing I find that is in human nature, if you ask for what you want, people either they can say yes or they can say no. At the end of the day, you're still alive and everything's still intact, but you can get what you need. Just ask, hey, I need to get out. I want to spend time. Seek support groups.
Okay. So seeking support through others, whether it's, you know, one-on-one time with someone else to kind of distract you from the moment, to get you outside of yourself and the obsessing, or, you know, just the heavy feelings of sadness, or just getting into a group where you don't feel so alone, a support group.
Absolutely. And you feel that someone else knows what you're experiencing, because we might have that feeling that nobody feels like I do. Nobody loves someone so like I did. No one experienced my fire. No one lost their possessions like I did, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because when my mother died, I felt like no one really understood that. And as a matter of fact, if a person had not lost a parent, I wouldn't even discuss it with them.
Okay.
I felt like when something happens to you like that, be it fire, be it loss, and someone else experiences that, you almost feel like, okay, they're in the club, they understand.
Mm.
A man can say to me, I recently lost my mom. I don't need to hear anything else immediately. I know what they're feeling. And
there's
been times where I've experienced that with people, and I just look at them and say, you don't have to say another word. I know exactly how you feel.
Well, it's interesting that you brought this up, because many people don't know that you have worn another hat for many, many years, that of a professional firefighter.
Yes.
And, you know, as you say, you know immediately what people feel. I would imagine that you have witnessed firsthand just countless situations of grief, and just personally knowing you and knowing how empathic you are, how in the world do you cope with so much intense emotion that has to be coming at you? You know, what is your recipe for self-care?
Wow. My recipe for self-care. When you say that, I wanted to say, wow, which one? Because it's really amazing. I have several recipes depending upon what I cook up. So,
okay.
Because after my workshop, there's another level of self-care. But now with work, after an event such as work, usually when I come home, the great thing is I have friends who I'm connected to or other firefighters, and we can talk about what we've seen or what happened. And then I come home, and the first thing I want to do is take a shower. Because let me tell you about our shift. We work 24-hour shifts. So when I come home, usually the shower, and for me, I usually go in. If I take a nap, that's fine. But usually before then, there's some form of prayer or release and decompression. One thing for me, a part of the decompress is driving home. And I did that. I worked as a counselor on a crisis hotline, and I always took the route home through the park, because that was decompressing for me. I didn't talk on the phone. I didn't answer. I was in silence. And I do the same thing with coming home. Usually that's my decompression time, the drive, and it's just me in the car.
Okay, so, you know, you had mentioned that that's a tool that people can use who go through grief, taking the time to have that silence. But that's a tool that you also use to help you deal with those who are dealing with grief.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is.
Okay. So it's not necessarily do what I say. I mean, you're actually having them do what you do. You walk the walk and talk the talk as well.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, can you share with us, we have about 10 minutes left, and I'm just wondering if you can share with us a situation of someone. I know we had a caller who was extolling your virtues. You really helped her. Do you have other situations where you have seen people who've actually, they've gotten that sacred gift from grief? They've reached that freedom. They've reached that acceptance.
I've seen some, but to be honest, not many. I've seen some. I have not seen as many as I would like to. So that's a part of why I do what I do, too.
Okay.
Because I've seen some where people are like, I'm there, I'm at that place. There are people that I talk to, and I can tune into you energetically. And I know when you're lying to me, when you tell me you're okay or you're there and you're not. I know that.
The BS meter.
Absolutely. You know, I go, beep, 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 and I'm like, okay. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
I must say I don't see it as much as I would like to, especially with women and relationships. You know, we're at
okay.
a time in the planet, energy is shifting, but women are hurting. Women are hurting, and they're carrying it with them, and they are not doing a good job of it.
Okay.
And you're holding it, and it affects your body a lot right now, especially with African-American women. There's an epidemic of fibroids and
mm-hmm.
uterine fibroids, and a lot of times that comes from stored grief of being hurt in relationships. So it's like your body, your mind, your soul, healing on all levels. Because
okay.
that's transcendental.
Okay, okay. Wow. That, you know, it's kind of a downer in a sense. It's like, wow. Wow. There's work to be done.
Absolutely. There is work to be done, but it's not really a downer. Because, you see, the thing about that is doing the work. Because in our lives, situations come up that assist us in doing the work, healing, getting to the other side. And sometimes the call may be for you to take better care of you in reaching the other side with your health. It's applied in so many dynamics with your health,
mm-hmm.
with your mindset. You know, it's so many ways getting to the other side.
Mm. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when we think about these stages of grief, it appears to be like this linear model where you go through this and you go through this, you go through this, you go through this, and then voila, we're here. But
right.
it's not always that clean.
No.
And you can kind of go back and kind of, it may seem like a relapse, so to speak, and you re-experience this angry moment and you think, well, I thought I dealt with that. I thought I was healed. I thought I was feeling good. And it's like, oh, some more is coming back up.
Absolutely. That's what we call the residue.
Okay.
If you notice,
okay.
Let me give you an example. Let's say you have mud in a glass. And you begin
mm-hmm.
to pour water. You see the mud, the dirt will break up or the dirt in the glass, and you pour water, and it comes. And then, and eventually you keep pouring until the glass is just full of water. But sometimes it's the residue. So you're all working, 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 and sometimes it feels like, okay, I'm done, but there's a little residue left.
Okay.
And
okay.
then once the residue is gone, absolutely, you're there.
But you have to continue to pour in that water, pour in that healing,
absolutely.
Whatever, use those tools to help you deal with the grief as it keeps coming up.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, I can relate to this because for the longest time, I guess my residue would show up in the month of October because that is a month where I have experienced some major losses, starting with the death of a dear cousin at the age of 25 to breast cancer. And
wow.
then, like, a couple of years later, that was when my father passed, the day before my birthday in October. And then a couple of years later, one of my best friends at the time, she died mysteriously, and her body was found on my birthday. I lost a job in October. My marriage broke up in October. I've had other relationships to break up in October. And just 2 years ago, one of my dearest friends, she succumbed to different cancers the day before my birthday, the same anniversary of my father. And
wow.
we actually had her memorial service on my birthday. So coming upon my birthday was difficult for me because I, for years, just associated it with grief, with loss.
Absolutely.
And it would always come up during that time.
Absolutely. But I heard you say it was. It was.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you worked through that.
Well, you know, I think it's taken some years because it's been, what, 15, 17 years in which this pattern had been doing its thing, and I had to come to a place where I realized, wow, this isn't working for me, and I have to shift
right.
my perspective. And by the time my friend passed a couple of years ago, I was able to celebrate that
right.
she was released from the pain.
Absolutely.
And we celebrated her life on my birthday. And
wow.
it's like that sort of like put the cap on things. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And I felt that sense of freedom from October being the grief and loss month.
Right.
At that time.
It
took years.
Years. Because there's a woman in my circle who has that. Like every 3 years, she would experience a tremendous loss. Her sister died,
mm-hmm.
and I think her mom died. She lost her job. She lost her home. So
mm-hmm.
what we did, how we repatterned that, because our thoughts create our reality. So if you
yes.
begin to expect, okay, every 3 years I'm going to have a shoe drop. So you wait for the other shoe to drop. So what we began doing is working, recreating her thought process, because our
gotcha.
Thoughts can create our reality. So we began to rework that. And so that every 3 years she could relax and not be as nervous and waiting.
Gotcha.
Sometimes the shoe drops because you're waiting for it to drop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She
yes.
began to think, it's 3 years. What's going to happen now?
Wow. Well, guess what?
What?
You said 3 years. We're talking 3 minutes now. Where did the time go?
Where did it go?
Other than my sleeping, okay? we have one more caller that from the 202 area code. Very briefly, I'm going to let the caller ask a question. Caller, you are live. Do you have a quick question for Coach Denise?
Hi, Tanya. I want to give a shout out to Coach Wilma. I'm also in the grief support group that's going on. My name is Carolyn.
Hi.
Okay, Carolyn.
And I just wanted to say hello.
Great.
Yes,
hi,
I experienced loss. I lost my father about 6.5 months ago. And the group has been a blessing to me in my life, and I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for calling in, Carolyn.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
I said another one. I love the women in this group. I absolutely love them.
And it's obvious that they absolutely love you too. So before we go, if you could just tell us again how folks can contact you.
Sure. You can contact me by cell phone, 202-498-5281, or on my website, www.fullbloomservices.com. Full Bloom Services. Think about a flower coming into full bloom, because that's what I do. I transform lives, bringing them into full bloom and assisting people in living in full bloom.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Coach Denise. And, you know, it has certainly been a meaty meal that we've had this evening with you. And I invite folks to tune in next month, August 10th. Our show will focus on the value in volunteering. And it will feature another InterVisions person, Claudia Thorne, another spiritual life coach, who's also the executive director of a D.C. nonprofit which utilizes volunteers to help with housing, employment, mentoring, and emergency services. And leading up to this show, I am doing a month of volunteering. So please tune in. It's going to be truly tasty. If you'd like to reach me, you can check out my website at www.mindbodyandspiritworks.com. And hit me up on Facebook or follow me here on Blog Talk or on Twitter. So before we go, I'd like to send you off with some mind, body, and soul food to go. Sustain you until next time. From Helen Keller, what we have once enjoyed, we can never lose. All we love deeply becomes a part of us. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you.